A high-profile special election in Pennsylvania last night is still too close to call, although the Democrat, Conor Lamb, declared victory with fewer than 700 votes separating him from the Republican Rick Saccone in this bright red district that candidate Donald Trump won by 20 points. There could be a recount, but it's not mandatory.
And the day after President Trump fired his Secretary of State, we have news from the Washington Post that he will name TV commentator Larry Kudlow to be his new top economic advisor, replacing Gary Cohn. Lots to talk about with Karine Jean-Pierre, a Democratic strategist who worked in the Obama White House and is the national spokeswoman for MoveOn.org, and Paris Denard, Republican strategist who worked in the George W. Bush White House and is on President Trump's White House Fellowships Commission. Welcome to both of you.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Good afternoon.
Hi, and let's start in Pennsylvania. Here's Conor Lamb this morning on CNN.
I describe myself as a Pennsylvania Democrat, looking to get things done and especially to be for and represent working people. And so we will work with the other side if that's what it takes to bring jobs here or protect our people. And that seems to be what most people want around here.
Paris, many are describing this as a win for the Democrats, a major loss for the GOP. Do you agree with that?
I mean, the race has not been called, but, if it is that Lamb does pull out a victory, I don't think it's a major win for the Democrat Party. I think it's a win. A win is a win if that happens. But I think the real win is for the Make America Great Again agenda, for Republican principles. Listen, this was a man who ran as a Republican, essentially.
You mean Lamb?
Lamb. This is a man who ran. Lamb.
Lamb the Democrat.
Lamb the Democrat ran as a Republican. He was pro-gun, pro-life, pro-coal. And he said he was against Speaker Nancy Pelosi, former Speaker of the House. And so, but if he were an actual Republican, he would have ran on that agenda and won as a Republican. But so the message of the president and the Make America Great agenda is one that is a winning message. And he ran and won on it.
Karine, doesn't he have a point, though? Because even Lamb said, I only represent me. I don't represent the party. And he did. He was like Seth Moulton, Senator Seth Moulton, his advisor. Congressman Seth Moulton, who advised him. They're both Marines, both vets. Very much anti-Nancy Pelosi. So isn't this also something that reveals a fracture in your party?
No, I don't. I totally disagree with my friend Paris here. I mean, look, so what Paris is saying is that the Republicans didn't put a good enough candidate in PA 18 to win a district that is ruby red. Trump, as you mentioned, Robin, won it by 20 points, and it's been a Republican seat for almost two decades. I mean, that just is ridiculous to say that talking points coming from Republicans is ridiculous. Look, at the end of the day, Lamb opposed Trump's agenda. He opposed the tax plan. He promised that he would fight if Republicans tried to cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. He was for unions. He is for unions. And so I think that makes him one of those Democrats that we want in our party.
He's certainly not progressive or an extreme or in the liberal vein of where I think the National Democratic Party is, and I think that's telling for candidates who want to run in the future moving into 2018.
But the thing about that, Paris, is what is the thing that progressive, one of the big issues that progressive fought for was making sure that Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security stayed intact last year. That was protecting health care, making sure Obamacare wasn't repealed. That was a major progressive issue. That was a major part of kind of the big fight, one of the big fights of the Democratic Party last year. And he stands with us on that. He said he would fight Paul Ryan and everyone else who tries to take that away.
Just not Nancy Pelosi.
Okay.
But that's not a litmus test. That is not a litmus test on how progressive he is.
I was watching a TV broadcast last night with some of the voters from the district in Pennsylvania. And one woman asked the reporter, did you see the news this morning? He fired somebody else. And she was talking about Rex Tillerson. Another one. I just can't take this anymore, she said. Paris, what a week of turmoil in the White House. We had the firing of the Secretary of State. And now Larry Kudlow, the TV commentator, is going to be his new top economic advisor. Is the White House in chaos, as we've asked many times before?
Well, you can look at him as firing people. I like to look at him as hiring better candidates. And so he's hired the former CIA director, and he's hired the first woman to be head of the CIA And I think that when you look at Larry Kudlow, I mean, there's more to him than just being a TV commentator. He's well respected in the financial and economic spaces of the arena. And so I don't think it's turmoil. Look, when President Obama was in office, people talked about him and the team of rivals and having great debates and fracturing opinions and all these things. And they said that was smart. That was genius. That was a good thing to do. President Trump likes to have people that disagree with him, and he goes back and forth on policy.
And they say that's chaos. But wait, Paris, he fires the people who disagree mm-hmm. with him.
He fires the people who do not agree with his agenda. Look, when you are working for the president of the United States, it's not your agenda. And this is what Lamb has to realize when he gets to Congress. It's not his own. You fall in line with what the leadership wants you to do. And the leader in this case is the president. So if you are at odds with his policies that you are supposed to enact as a Secretary of State, it's best that you either resign or get fired and have someone who will be close to his vision, match his vision for how to make America great again, but also put America first.
Korean?
And when you go into Korea, North Korea and Syria and all these other issues, he has to have somebody that is 100% behind him in supporting the agenda.
So I have to say, Robin, Donald Trump is the only person that can make a former CEO of Exxon a sympathetic figure. I think it's just the craziest thing. Look, before Donald Trump started firing people, before people started leaving him, he said he would hire the best people. What happened to that? Everybody that he's hired in all of these cabinet positions are not qualified to hold the position that they were hired to do. And here's the thing, you know, Donald Trump is clearly off the rails, as this the person that was being spoken to and said that, oh, he fired another person. There's chaos upon chaos. And anytime people try to put guardrails around him, they get fired. And he doesn't want anybody who is not a yes person. That's what he wants. That is the only thing that Donald Trump can understand.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that. I want to ask, though, but you say no chaos, but and Paris, you say, you know, people who agree with him. But now we have, you know, Rex Tillerson was the one who wanted to have talks with Korea. The president, you know, finally said, yes, I'm going to have talks without telling Rex Tillerson. And now he's appointed as Secretary of State, somebody who's much warier, somebody who's, you know, much warier of talks. So where, just take that, Paris. Where do you see talks with North Korea going?
I think that if they happen, the president will be leading this effort. He is a good negotiator, and he is going to do the best and get the best deal for the American people and more so for the world. But if Mike Pompeo did not agree with the president's strategy and his engagement efforts with North Korea, he would not have accepted the role as Secretary of State. And he well understands that by accepting it, he has got to be 100% behind the president's engagement strategy, maximum pressure on North Korea. He would not have accepted if otherwise.
Today, as we're talking to you, students across the country walked out of school in honor of the 17 Parkland, Florida victims killed last month. Here are some students chanting in front of Brooklyn Tech in New York City.
No more silence!
No more silence!
And gun violence!
And gun violence!
Now, Republican Senate leaders and the NRA back a bill to require better federal agency reporting on mental health to the background check system. But this week, President Trump seemed to backtrack on raising the age limit to buy a gun when it was left out of his school safety recommendations. Corrine, are lawmakers going to disappoint these student activists?
It seems like it, at least on the federal level. I mean, the walkouts are inspiring. We need them, and I'm glad that they're doing it. And these students have been amazing this past month, and I appreciate and applaud their voice. And they are the leaders. They are the ones, if anything's going to change on this issue, they're going to be the ones that's going to make it happen. And they said it, too. If you heard some of the interviews from students who were out across the country when they were asked, you know, if this doesn't happen, what will you do? And they said, hey, look, we're 17, 18 years old. We're going to be voting. Some of us are going to be voting in November. And so we will vote these guys out. And so I think they're pretty serious. And that's the action that's going to happen if things don't happen on the federal level.
Well, and we were going to have a conversation with those who survived the Sutherland church shooting. We remember that in Texas.
Yep.
And many of them feel the exact opposite. You know, they still want to be able to have their guns to protect themselves. So we're going to keep on that. But, Paris, I want to ask you about a report that we just found confounding in some ways. It was in today's New York Times that the Trump administration wants to get rid of Obama-era guidance for schools that was intended to rein in excessive suspensions and expulsions of minority kids. Now, it is a fact that black kids are disproportionately arrested in schools for things that white kids are merely slapped on the wrist for. And the president wants to roll that back. But he said this in the name of preventing school shootings. Now, no black student has ever been a mass shooter in a school. It was sort of, somehow throwing this, at young black kids who have problems of their own in the inner city. Were you troubled by that?
Well, this is the first time I'm actually hearing about that. And so I, instead of commenting on something that I don't know fully
Front page.
About.
Yeah, take a look at it. I'd be curious.
Yeah, I'll tweet about it and give you my opinion. But what I do know is that this president is one who is listening to the American people, listening to the survivors and school educators and professionals to make the best decision. His policy that he put out first was something that he could do immediately, and he's going to turn to the Congress to do something that they can do long term.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Paris Denard, Republican strategist, and Karine Jean-Pierre, a Democratic strategist. Thanks as always.
Thank you both.
Thank you.